Everyone, Scott here with a short announcement. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was launching a new podcast series with James Early. James has been a frequent presence and co-host on this podcast. We've done the series Key Battles of World War I, Key Battles of the Civil War, Key Battles of the Revolutionary War, and Presidential Fight Club together. Presidential Fight Club was the battle royale tournament where all U.S. presidents fought each other one-on-one. We launched a new series last week called Key Battles of World War II Pacific, and it's not on this podcast. It's on James's new show, Key Battles of American History, which you can find on the podcast player of your choice. In this series, we're going to cover absolutely everything when it comes to World War II in the Pacific theater. The road to Pearl Harbor, the Battle of the Coral Sea, Midway, Guadalcanal, Okinawa, Iwo Jima, the Battle of Leyte Gulf, I'm getting out of chronological order here, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the legacy of World War II. And we're also going to get into highlight episodes where we focus on specific people or specific groups. We'll look at fighter pilots. We'll look at POWs. We'll look at kamikazes. We'll look at bombers. We'll look at submarines. Just everything you can imagine. And you're going to love this if you're into military history. Once in a while, I'm just going to give you a short preview of episodes that we've been doing so you can listen to it and then hop on over to James' podcast to listen to the full thing. So this is a 10-minute preview of episode one of our series, The Rise of Imperial Japan. What we're going to look at is how Japan rose from its status as late as the 1860s as being a semi-feudal nation that was largely cut off from the rest of the world. But within a few short decades, it transformed into a major industrial power with one of the world's most well-trained, well-equipped, and well-led militaries. Between 1905 and 1941, Japan defeated Russia, gained several former German colonies in the Pacific, seized Manchuria, and invaded and conquered much of coastal China. We'll talk about how Japan accomplished all this, and this is really important context for the entire Pacific War, because Pearl Harbor was a complete and total shock to the United States. Before this, many assumed that Japan's military simply wasn't up to the caliber of the United States, and there was no way they could catch the United States by surprise. America had military presence in the Philippines, and that would keep watch of everything happening in the Pacific. So understanding the rise of Japan, understanding how it built itself up into such a military powerhouse, is going to set the stage for the rest of the series. Take a listen, hope you enjoy it, and go check out James's series at Key Battles of American History, which you can find on the podcast player of your choice, or by going to keybattlesofamericanhistory.com.
War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. War made the U.S. independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Understanding America's wars is essential for understanding American history. Welcome to Key Battles of American History, a podcast in which we discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. Here is your host, James Early.
Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Key Battles of American History. I'm James Early, your host, as always. In this series, I will be discussing the Pacific Theater of the Second World War through the lens of the most important battles fought in the theater. And I'm delighted to be joined by my longtime podcast partner, author, historian, professor, and host of the great podcast History Unplugged, Scott Rank. Dr. Scott Rank, it's so good to have you again. How you doing, Scott?
Doing all right. Ready to sink my teeth into the Pacific Theater, if that analogy makes, or simile metaphor makes any sense.
You sound like a shark, Scott.
All right. That is a great point right there, which we're going to see those later on some battles. So things are getting grisly already, as they should.
Yeah. We're starting right away. We're getting right into it. So before we really get rolling, I'd be interested to know, Scott, I know you've World War II has always kind of been one of your favorite topics, and you've read quite a bit about it. Tell me how you became interested in World War II naval history.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny because I'm not a specialist in World War II at all. I'm a specialist in the late Ottoman Empire, which most people don't know about, so I try not to get into it too much because it doesn't have a common frame of reference with people. But most people who are interested in history are fascinated by World War II, and they should be because it's one of the cataclysmic, groundbreaking events that created our modern world order. But I'm not too big of a fan of researching it for the podcast just because, number one, I'm not a specialist, and there's many more people like you, James, who knew more than I do. And number two, I think it just kind of distorts our view of war, where there's a clear good guy and a clear bad guy, especially in Europe when you have Hitler, greatest war villain of all time. But a lot of wars aren't that cut and dry. But I am excited to get into this series with you, because when I've looked at the naval theater in the Pacific, I mean, it really is fascinating, where you're talking about the most tonnage in any war that ever happened, where there's millions and millions and millions of tonnage. There's dozens of aircraft carrier, battleship, and escort carriers and cruisers. And what really struck me is about a year ago, or about 6 months ago, I had a former Navy admiral on my podcast, and I was asking him what was it like to be an admiral, where you're looking at your entire carrier fleet, where you're in charge of, you hold in your hand the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of men. It's like being a pharaoh on top of a pyramid. And he said that up there, I mean, the wind blows the harshest, the highest altitude, you feel the weight of duty. And when I was asking about who his favorite admiral was in all of history, he said Chester Nimitz, who was the leader of the, he was the fleet admiral of the U.S. Navy and commanded Allied air and land and sea forces. And I think what just made him stand in awe is because there's probably no one man who controlled as much naval might as he did. So, and people who are into naval history, they sort of talk in hushed tones about the Pacific Theater the way that people in America talk about the Civil War, where it wasn't men clashing, it was gods, just this larger-than-life event. So, yeah, I think this will be really cool to get into.
All right. By the way, I have to admit, or not admit, but I have to just bring up the fact that Chester Nimitz was a Texan.
All right.
And we will definitely delve into the lives, at least briefly, of many of the major figures. And also in this series, we'll not just look at the admirals and the generals, but we'll also look at the common sailor, the common soldier, just regular pilots, things like that. So we're going to look at it from high level as well as low level. I'll go ahead and talk about kind of my background with World War II just briefly. I'm also not a big World War II expert. I've always liked World War II. I've always found it fascinating. It's really kind of, in many ways, my favorite war to study, even though prior to this series, I hadn't really read tons of it. My specialty when I was in grad school was in Eastern European history, so totally different than the Pacific theater, at least. And it was early Eastern European history, so well before World War II. But as when I started teaching American history at the college level 6 years ago, I started having to learn things like World War II, World War I, Revolutionary War, Mexican-American War, things like that. I've always been kind of a Civil War nut, too. But I also have a personal connection to World War II, and especially the Pacific Theater. And that is because my father fought in the Pacific Theater of World War II. He was in the Marines. He was in a special unit called the Marine Raiders, or Carlson's Raiders, because his commander was named Evans Carlson. And I just feel like a personal connection. I feel like I'm, in some ways, tracing my father's steps. My father was a lot older than me. He was in his late 40s when I was born. He was born in 1919. I was born in 1968. So almost a 50-year difference between us. And unfortunately, he passed away when I was still a fairly young man. I guess I was about 36. He passed away in June of 2004. And he had had Alzheimer's. So really, he hadn't been able to have regular conversations for several years prior to that. So I feel like I really lost him in the late 90s. And sadly, my father was like a lot of World War II veterans in that he just didn't talk about it much. My dad, I could probably count on two hands, maybe even one hand, the number of times that my dad actually told me specifics of the things that he did during the war. I know he was in the battles of Guadalcanal. He was at Tarawa. He was at Iwo Jima and Okinawa. Obviously, those are all horrible, bloody battles. Those are all, like, you know, just Marine icons of battle, if you will. Those are epic things, kind of like Verdun for the French in World War II, or I mean World War I, I'm sorry, or the Somme, or the Battle of the Bulge for the Allies and the Germans and the Western Front. Just so I really felt like I'm in a way getting reacquainted with my father and his life, even though I'm not actually, fortunately, I'm not out there actually fighting it. But so I'm really dedicating this series to my dad, Colonel Cleland E. Early. United States Marine Corps. He served from 1941 to 1967.
Thank you for listening to Key Battles of American History. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast catcher. And please be sure and spread the word about the show. If you can spare a few minutes, rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts. This greatly helps us to reach more listeners. And for show notes, maps, and further discussion, visit our website at www.keybattlesofamericanhistory.com. Thank you, and we look forward to joining you again in the next episode of Key Battles of American History.